This past week, I had the opportunity to give a retreat to the staff at the St. Lawrence Center at KU. And being a bit of a space nut myself, loving the space program, I decided I would organize the retreat around the 40th anniversary of the landing on the moon of Apollo 11. It was 40 years ago this past July that Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. And so I kind of used some themes from the missions of Apollo to structure my retreat talk. One of the things that I found most interesting, I was, of course, interested in the space program from kind of an engineering standpoint. There's something very exciting to me about the idea of, hey, look, there's a rock that circles the Earth in the sky. Let's, like, shoot a missile at it, and I'll ride on top of it, and we can go there. That's kind of exciting to me as an engineer. But what I found reading, I was much more excited kind of about what I saw in the human spirit, particularly the leadership and the vision that was able to accomplish this great task. And of course, with the missions of Apollo, it was really the vision and leadership of President John F. Kennedy that allowed us to get to the moon. You see, he was the one in 1961 that boldly proclaimed that we were going to go to the moon, land on it, and return safely to the Earth. It was an incredible claim at the time. We hadn't even put a man in orbit yet. Alan Shepard had finally been an American in space, but he just went suborbital and kind of launched and came back down, and it was just 15 minutes. And then Kennedy gets up and says, we are going to the moon by the time the decade is out. An incredible goal to set. But he put it out there for everyone to see. And we would do it. He said, this is a goal that we are unwilling to compromise on. It is one that we will win. That vision of Kennedy, that mission, it's so structured and ordered, it inspired everyone in the space program that we were able to look back and say, we never would have got to the moon by 1969 or maybe ever had it not been for his leadership, for his clear vision, putting forward the mission. Every little decision that went on in the next 9 years was colored by that goal. Everyone knew we have to get to the moon by 1969. That's it. Little decisions like that, first they thought it's far too dangerous, so we're going to have to put lots of dogs in space first. The Russians had put dogs in space, so we thought we would have to maybe launch 50 missions with dogs before we would ever put a man in space. Well, given Kennedy's timeline, they had to simply say, we can't do that. We don't have enough time to put 50 dogs in space, so we'll have to risk it and start putting men right away. The clear mission helped make the individual decisions and ordered the whole goal of getting to the moon. They had their mission. For us in life as well, we have a mission. Do we realize that? Or do we rather kind of live our life in a bit of a haphazard and unstructured sort of way in which one day just kind of flows into the next and maybe we hope to just go through life and run out the clock? When I was at KU, I had the opportunity to be struck by the teaching of one of the priests there when he put forward a quote to me from John Henry Cardinal Newman. Cardinal Newman wrote a famous prayer which he entitled, The Mission of My Life. And in it he writes, God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed to me some work which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. That really struck me, that God would have a mission for each of us, and that our mission is unique, a mission that he's given to each of us that he's given to no one else. We see this in our beautiful reading from Jeremiah today. God tells Jeremiah and each one of us, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. God created us with a plan. Just as the space program was born with a plan, God set our lives in a direction, ordered with a mission from our very first days in our mother's womb. What a beautiful witness for our lives. It has meaning. When I heard that quote of Cardinal Newman, I knew that I did not want to one day stand before God and there be told my mission and have to realize that I had failed, that I had not even made an attempt to get to know my mission, and that ultimately what my life was supposed to be about, I never even found out. I wanted to arrive before God and say, yes, that was my mission and I did all I could. Maybe I failed here and there, as we all will, but I tried to live out my mission. My life had a purpose and I tried to do it. You know, that beautiful reading from Jeremiah often also reminds me, especially at this time of the year, about the fact that we have a great tragedy amongst us in abortion as well. I just got back from the March for Life last weekend from Washington, D.C., and yesterday I spoke at the pro-life prayer breakfast for the Kansans for Life. And I can't help but notice that, you know, as great a tragedy as abortion is because it degrades our own respect for life in general, what about the mission that each of those individual children had that we've lost to abortion? If each of us has a unique mission that God gives to no one else, how many doctors have we lost? How many future scientists, future poets, dramatists? How many musicians? How many cures for cancer, disease? How many vocations to the priesthood and religious life? How many missions have been lost to abortion? What a great tragedy that so many missions entrusted to those little children have forever been lost. You know, this past week there's been a bit of controversy in the media over, perhaps you've seen, the quarterback from Florida, Tim Tebow, one of the most outstanding football players in the history of college football. He won the Heisman Trophy when he was just a sophomore. Well, this football player that lots of people, religious or not, have come to greatly admire for his football ability, has created a bit of controversy this week when his mother came out to say that they've been asked to do an ad for the Super Bowl. And in that ad, his mom is revealing that, in fact, when she was pregnant with Tim, she was on a mission trip in the Philippines. And at that time, she got very sick. So sick that the doctor, for whatever reason, actually recommended that she abort little Tim. Well, the commercial is just that she's saying, I ultimately trusted in God. I said, I don't know what will come of it, but I trust God. And so, no, I'm not going to abort my baby. I choose life. And look what came out of it. The greatest, perhaps ever, quarterback in college football history. What a great witness to life. Now, ironically, the feminist movement have attacked the even possibility of this ad. They haven't even seen it, but all over, this ad is being attacked. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems strange that if you've witnessed the normal fare of Super Bowl commercials, if I were the National Organization for Women, I perhaps would want to come out and attack maybe the ads in which the typical Super Bowl commercial is women normally take off half their clothes to become an object of men to sell beer or website addresses. Now that, as an organization for feminists, that might concern me. Maybe I should stand up and protest that. But no, apparently a mom coming out to say, I'm glad I chose life and my son turned out so well, that crosses the line. Taking off your clothes to sell beer, that's fine. That's, women are cool with that. But a woman saying, I'm proud to be a mom, that crosses the line. I guess that the moral is, you know, maybe you will never understand women, and that's maybe impossible, but to understand the National Organization for Women, just forget that. That is impossible. But it just shows the power of hope. You never know what this little baby could turn out to be. you know, a Super Bowl commercial from last year, which didn't make the cut. This Tim Tebow commercial is actually going to be shown. But last year, there was another Super Bowl commercial, which wasn't allowed to be shown. It was so controversial. It began by showing a sonogram of a little baby in the womb, which clearly you can tell is a little baby. And it shows over and over again the little baby moving around in its mother's womb. Meanwhile, it's showing words superimposed saying, "This child is born into a broken home. Its father will abandon him before he is born. His single mother will struggle to raise him in poverty. But he will struggle on. He will endure, and he will go on to become the first African-American president of the United States." Life. Imagine the potential. How many missions have we lost to abortion? We know tragically that had President Obama been conceived after Roe versus Wade, maybe 75% of similar African-American babies in that situation today are aborted. We've got to have hope. John Paul II reminded us that ultimately abortion is a witness to the fact of a culture that has lost hope. Today we stand up to say that we've got to stand for hope. We've got a mission that God gives to no other. This is Catholic Schools Week as well, and as we celebrate the great gift of our youth and our education, we often look to the future. And there's no greater way to see the future than in our children. And often we'll ask them, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think the far better question to ask is then, who has God created you to be? Who has God created those children to be? What is their mission? The greatest gift we could give to our children is to help them to know their mission, to hear the voice of God, to help them to reach their fulfillment. What has God created them? What mission? Because one day we will stand before God. Maybe our kids won't grow up to be the president of the United States. Maybe they won't be Tim Tebow, the greatest quarterback in college football history. But one thing is definitely clear. We are called to a great mission. One that will lead even to a greater destination than the moon. Our mission for all of us is heaven. And if we want to arrive there, we've got to know that we can't just wander aimlessly through life, but we've got to be just as focused as we were in Apollo, just as driven towards our mission. Let's do our best to help our brothers and sisters. Cardinal Newman concludes his prayer with these words, "I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work." Let us do our best to find our link. It doesn't matter whether we're a president or a quarterback. We have our little link. Do your mission as well as you possibly can, no matter what it is. Your link is important. And if you fail in your mission, no matter how small you think it is, we all lose out. Let us be the best link we can be. And if we do that, we pull everyone together to our ultimate end, the end of our mission, not the moon, but heaven. That's where we're headed. Let us do our best to achieve our mission.